direction.
Okay, so this is the 17th of June, the LSC Oral History Project with Dorothy Miller. Can I ask you to say your name?
Dorothy Mellor.
And your class?
BSc Econ 1954.
Thank you. Where were you born?
I was born in Newbury in Berkshire.
And did you grow up there?
I grew up there. I'm probably one of the few people who went to the same school right the way through my life. Didn't change schools once. Because the school had a preparatory group when I joined. And then when it became part of when they put in the Education Act, I was old enough to go in to the school as the main school. And they had a sixth form, so I never actually had to move.
And what made you choose
LSE
as your next place?
I don't really know. Somebody probably suggested I might look at... Because I was interested in history and in maths, and suggested, what about economics? So I applied to a couple of places, and as I say, I took an entrance exam here, got in, so decided that was probably the best thing to do. But I hadn't any real ideas of what it was going to involve. I've been to a girls' school, so it was very cloistered in a sense, and we were all terribly immature when we came here, compared with the men, many of whom had done national service.
Did you live in halls?
Yes, I lived at Nutfield House, which is up near Marble Arch. It was a girl only, but it catered for students from all colleges, so you got quite a mix. So I think there were about four of us from LSE at the time.
Okay, so other
University of London colleges, yes.
Did they have social events?
A few, yes. But it was quite a small place. I don't think there was much room to go and have a social event.
And did you have social events on campus as well?
Well, they used to have a regular dance on, I think it was on a Saturday, it must have been. That I do remember. Then, of course, it was the Students' Union meetings. Mm-hmm. But I think we usually had our social events connected with the clubs we belonged to. Mm-hmm. And... fraternising at the Three Tons with Mrs. Popper, who used to run it. I remember her, a dear old lady, used to produce lunch.
What clubs did you belong to?
I belonged to the fencing club. I joined when I first came. I always wanted to fence. There was no facilities at home. And I also belonged to the boat club. So I used to basically joined as a cox, but I did do a bit of rowing as well.
Wow.
So, but the fencing club was the main one. Mm. And I still fence.
Where did they have fencing? Was it on campus?
Yes, it was, you know, in what we used to call the new building, which I think you're now pulling down. There was a gym downstairs. Next to the squash courts. I'm not quite sure what it became after that, but we used to fence twice a week there.
I think the squash courts are still there, but we call it the East Building.
All right.
So you called it the New Building.
It was the New Building in those days.
So opposite the Old Building.
Oh, opposite the Old Building, mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
That makes more sense. I'm just going to ask a bit more about your course that you did. The favourite teachers, maybe,
from
particular classes you remember?
Well, I always remember Dr. Ryan, because when we came in, none of us knowing quite what was going to happen at our first lectures, and we went into the old theatre. He was the second lecture we had that day, and he was very kind, and he told us to begin with. He said, none of you know what you're supposed to be doing. You've got some idea, you take notes, so I will go and tell you what you should take notes about and give you some headings and everything as you go through. So he led us in very gently. Most of the others, I'm afraid, just came in and lectured. So we didn't get very much help from them.
Do you remember anything in particular? Anything on the teachers?
Well, I remember them all. I remember Dr. Anstey, who did economic history, mainly because she lectured to us but didn't really take, you know, didn't really take much notice of us. I think she was very good in the tutorials, but as a group, she wasn't. And there was Mr. Smelly, I think he was then. And there was, dear Dr. Hatton, who lectured on political history. She was very sweet. And, memory's going on me. I was going to say that, of course, there was Professor Popper, because I went to his logic classes. Professor Allen, of course, from the statistics, because I was doing statistics as my subject. I can't remember the one who took over from Lasky. He was very good. A lot of them, I can remember the names. I can't remember very much about them as such. Mm-hmm. But I think he was Mr. It was Mr. Moser, who did statistics. He became a professor later on. Mm-hmm. And he was my tutor. After the first year of tutor, I don't remember his name, but he left after the first year. And so I had Klaus Moser for 2 years. But he didn't take us individually. He used to take all his students together as a group.
And would you go to his office or
did that to you? No, it was too small. In those days, they were sharing offices, so tiny offices. I mean, I used to go, when the first tutor I had, his office he shared with somebody else. And they just had to hold tutorials one end of the room. It was very true. I mean, there was very little space in those days. So Klaus Moser used to take us, he used to book a room and have us in there. Probably one way round of the problem. But, I know, of course, another person who got mentioned upstairs, Phillips, Wilfred Phillips. Because I was in the statistics room, we did actually see his machine and had a lecture about it from him.
Wow.
So I've actually seen it. And, I think it was Dr. Booker. He was the one who introduced us to the Hollerith machines, the early computers, and showed us sort of how they worked, their little tiny plug boards. He was my admitting tutor. What else can I remember about them? What I do remember about the lectures in particular was that you could go in and you could go out if you didn't like the lecture. And it was incredible with some of them. You'd all go in. And the next thing you knew was the seats going up, because the seats made quite a bang when they went up. So you'd get this, banging your seats as people decided they'd had enough and went out. It was quite a chorus all the way through. Obviously, some were worse than others, but everybody remembers those seats that as soon as you got up, they went bang.
Did you ever leave lectures?
I didn't. Yes, I'm afraid I was too good. I'd been brought up to be polite and wait to the end.
Were those mostly in the new building?
Most of our lectures, well, to begin with, you see, everyone on the BSc Econ went to a series of, I think it was 10 lectures, 10 types of lecture, and they were all held in the old building. We all went in together. So the only ones you went anywhere else were the ones for your specific subject, like logic and statistics, which I did, and maths. I don't think we ever went anywhere else, because I think it was just the whole group of, I don't know, 100 or 200 people who were on the course would go and go to the old theatre. So we lived there, more or less.
Going to ask, what was campus like then when you were around?
I suppose you might say that there wasn't very much organised campus, that people did their own thing quite a bit. I mean, there were events that we had special events like Ron Moody's show, which he did while I was there. What was called Rigor Mortis, which we went to. There was a drama club who used to do a show. I don't know whether it was ever, I think it was probably twice a year. There was a tiny orchestra, which I belonged to, so I played the violin, and that gave the occasional concerts. I think those were the main things I remember. And of course, the students usually meetings. Well, they used to have a dance, I think, on a Saturday evening, which you could go to. So, you know, there's quite a lot of things going on.
Whereabouts was the dance held?
I think it was probably held in the old refectory. And don't ask me exactly where it was. It was somewhere in the old building upstairs.
Somewhere in here.
Somewhere in here, yes.
Mm.
Yes, so they didn't often go up to the Shaw Library. Did occasionally for things, but it used to be inhabited by people who smoked a lot. I mean, one, what was his name, Bernard Levin, and his playing chess up, I think, no, playing bridge up there. And with friends. But of course, in those days, it was smoking, so everybody smoked.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
A few years ago.
That's right, yes. Yes, because when I mean, belonging to the fencing club, we used to go out after the, we've had our sessions and go around to the pub, very often the White Horse, which was somewhere around the back here.
Yes.
I think it's still there.
Yes.
And have a drink, have a smoke, and then go back to the hostel. The difficulty with the hostel was that they had a fixed regime. The meals were at certain times, and you had to be there for them. But you could opt to book out for your evening meal, and they'd put it in the oven for you. So you used to come back late and have this rather dried-up meal. Food in those days was not particularly great after the war. I mean, restaurants weren't great. The food in the refectory was pretty abysmal. In fact, after the first term, my friend and I decided we weren't going to go there again. So we used to walk down the Strand to what was then Joe Lyon's corner house, which was on the corner of Trafalgar Square. I think it's just about where Waterstones is now, and near Charing Cross Station. And we used to have, for about 1 in 10 pence, old money, we'd have soup and sweet, which was quite nice.
Mm.
It was certainly a lot more palatable than what we were getting here.
You mentioned the three tons as well as the White Horse.
Yes.
Do you remember which one you liked best?
Well, I think for drinking purposes, we used to go to the White Horse.
Mm.
Three tons I used to go to occasionally to have something to eat at lunchtime, or if friends had come in, do something there, but didn't go there quite so often.
I've got some questions about graduation,
mm-hmm.
and what that was like, and what you did after NSC. But we can come back afterwards to anything.
Yes, okay, fine.
I'll ask, what was your graduation?
Well, I remember I didn't think I'd done very well going along and trying to look at the lists. And I think it was Mr. Booker who came up and said, "Congratulations, you've passed." I had actually only got a third, but I had actually passed, which was something. And then for the ceremony itself, well, of course, very unfortunately, the Chancellor had died. The Vice-Chancellor had not, well, the new Chancellor had not been appointed, who was that was then the Queen Mother, or was on, had not officially taken on the job. So we had the Deputy Vice-Chancellor to award the degrees. And it was in the Albert Hall, and my parents came. And I remember we all lined up, with our gowns. But that the only time we ever wore a gown. And you know, paraded in front of the Deputy Vice Chancellor.
Do you know who that was?
I have no idea now what his name was. But as I say, we missed by having the Queen Mother, which was a shame. And I can't remember who the one who died was. It was something. It was either the Duke of Connaught or someone like that, or one of the royal family. I can't remember now. And so in a way it was a little bit of an anticlimax, but well, all we were really interested in was that we'd got our degrees.
What did you go on to do?
Well, when I left the LSE, I was told there was something like four things I could do. And having looked at them, I thought, I don't fancy any of these. And I found a job advertised for somebody to help with in the stock exchange, in the stockbrokers, with investment research and that sort of thing. So I joined a firm of stockbrokers in the city and did some mundane job keeping records to begin with, and then carried on doing investment research. They amalgamated at one stage, so the firm became bigger and we did more. And then we had this period when the whole of the financial world went into a bit of a decline. There wasn't enough work coming through. We weren't getting enough. The question was something like four of us squabbling as to who should answer the one letter that arrived that day, which was a bit stupid. So in the end, I thought I'll look around for something else. And IBM was then asking for people whose knowledge of finance and stockbroking to join their finance branch. So I applied and got the job.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been in 1963, I think. And in fact, I stayed with IBM for the rest of my career, because the thing about IBM, they used to say it stood for I've been moved, was that you had so much scope. It was such a young company at that stage that you could move around and you could do different things. So you know, I started off as a branch SE with a pile of customers to keep an eye on, make sure they got everything they wanted and all the rest of it. And then I went on to specialise in some of the software products that we were doing. Did a couple of stints down in the labs, and then finally retired. When they started downsizing and offered people early retirement. I think probably one has quite fond memories about it. It was an interesting experience, something I hadn't really expected at the time. I remember my mother saying, "Don't you become left wing," or "Don't you become communist," because I think that's what it was really renowned for then. You know, it was a pleasant, you know, you met a lot of people. It was a different, very much different experience to what I had at home. And I suppose I haven't really got involved much more with it. It was when they were raising some money using a business expansion scheme. And I put some money into that. And various things, because if it did well, if you'd like to take your money out and give the, come with the base money or the interest to the school, that would help the school with. And I think from, based from that, I've been kind of supporting the New Futures Fund ever since.
When did you become involved?
I can't remember when they started this, when business expansive schemes became a thing, because they had a short life. I think having started very well and made a lot of money for people, they rather petered out. But I think it must have been about the 1980s, something like that. I think before then I hadn't had very much contact with the school. And then, of course, we started having these reunions of the 1954 group, which, of course, helped to keep us together. And I had three friends who I met here, and we kept in touch with each other. So, it brought in some new friendships. But that's really all I can remember about how I got involved with.
Is that through the alumni relations?
Well, alumni relations is what now keeps me in touch. So that seems to work very well, actually. When they've got enough staff to give you a named person to look after you. Had a small glitch earlier this year when people moved around. I was desperate to make my next donation. I couldn't find anybody to give it to. Really a bit daft. But anyway, we sorted that one out. So I've got Harry, I think, looking after me.
I'm going to ask, what do you like the future of LSE?
Well, I'd like to see it continuing to, encourage people to come from all over the world, because I think having people from different backgrounds and ethnicity helps to, improve relationships generally. I still feel that there's a little tendency here that when you come here, you're left very much on your own, which certainly was true when we were there. People didn't come. You were used to school, people coming along telling you to do things and getting, why haven't you done this and that? When you came here, nobody was slightest bit interested whether you did it or not. And I think there's a little bit of that still around from what I hear from talking to students here. But I'd like the school to be taking a slightly more proactive role towards the students to help them. As I say, I've only got comments from the students that gives me that impression that they're still not very good on that respect. But because I think that does make a big difference. But no, otherwise, I think it's certainly got a varied enough, what you might call, curriculum for people to choose from than we had in those days. So hopefully it will continue to flourish and produce future world statesmen.
I was going to ask about, probably because you didn't mention it actually, was about using the library. Did you?
Ah. The library is another story.
Oh, good.
Well, the library, we had two libraries. We had the main library, which is on the ground floor of the old building, which is about where the entrance hall, that side, is. And we had the reference library, where you could go up and actually borrow books. They were both very small. And it used to say, if you went up to the library and got yourself a place, you didn't dare leave, because as soon as you left, somebody else would move your books and sit down there. And then you wouldn't be able to get back in again. It really was pretty chronic. I think I borrowed what books I could and worked in the library at Nutford House quite a bit, or in my room, because, yes, you did occasionally get through, but it really was very difficult to get a space in the library. And that was one thing which is... I hope it's much better now.
Is there anything else that you thought of that you think that we missed or that you'd like to mention?
I can't really think of anything at the moment. No, if that's all right.
Yes, that's lovely.
Not sure.
It's been lovely speaking with you. So we're all